Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Learn more about their great services at OrthoCincy.com. I'm your host, Double T Travis. There, no better night to cozy up on the couch and listen to some sports talk than tonight with inclement weather here in Eagle Country. But a lot of good things going on in high school sports, and that is what we are here to highlight each and every Monday night from 6 to 6:30, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. Now tonight, our show was originally slated to be featuring the South Ripley Raiders boys basketball team, now 16-1 on the season after a win against South Dearborn on Friday night. Myself and Happy Jack were there to call that game, and this team has been absolutely fantastic, has won 11 games in a row. Arguably the best team in the area under Coach Tyler Teasing, and of course with the bad weather here in the area, we did not want the young men and Coach Teasing to risk getting down to the station, so we are going to hold off on South Ripley being the featured guest on Crunch Time. We are hoping that they'll be able to come through next Monday to talk about their recent success and their star senior Cody Samples, which is where we want to lead off the show tonight. If you were tuned in on Friday night, then you already know that Cody Samples is now the all-time leading scorer in South Ripley boys basketball history. Only needed 5 points to pass Steve Allen on Friday evening, and Cody got that in the first quarter with his first two baskets. The first, he made a banker heading into the lane. A nice shot there, and then he got a corner three out of a baseline out of bounds to set the record. 1,288 career points, passing that record set by Steve Allen back in 1978. Cody did go on to finish the game with 19 points to up his career total to 1,302 points, and that is likely to go up with 4 games left in the regular season and a 21.7 points per game average this year. But a really cool moment that we had the pleasure of being a part of. Myself and Happy Jack were on the call. Here is that record-breaking moment from Cody Samples.
Baseline out of bounds, box set. Vols triggering again, looking for Samples coming to the corner. Wow. Nothing there, nearly threw it away. Samples under control, gets in the lane, puts it up off the glass and in. So Cody, 3 points away from breaking that South Ripley all-time scoring lead.
Can we give him some extra credit for using the glass? Very nice.
Samples, three-pointer for the record. And he nailed it. Cody Samples has just passed Steve Allen as the all-time leading scorer in South Ripley history with 1,288 points as the South Ripley faithful jumps to their feet to celebrate.
As mentioned, a really cool moment to be a part of and to call as a play-by-play announcer. Cody, a fantastic player, has been shining for the Raiders since his freshman season and a well-deserved record from Cody. And he is a class act out there on the floor as well. And another really neat moment was not only seeing the South Ripley faithful that had traveled to South Dearborn stand up, give Cody the standing ovation that he deserved, but the South Dearborn faithful also standing up and recognizing that awesome accomplishment from Cody Samples. So, Really great job well done from the South Dearborn fan base, showing a great support to the opponent with a cool moment happening there at South Dearborn High School. And was going to line up perfectly for Cody to be in studio tonight with his South Ripley teammates to talk about the record and the success that they have had this season. And like I mentioned, we hope to get the South Ripley boys basketball team on the show next Monday. But congratulations once again to Cody Samples, 19 points in that victory, getting that record, and a big win for South Ripley as well to extend their winning streak to 11 points. Had it not been for the record that Cody set, Jaden Peets actually stole the show in this game with a game-high 25 points, including 5 dunks. Yes, you heard that right. You don't see or hear that often in these parts, but Jaden Peets, phenomenal talent, and slamming that ball through the hoop two-hand style 5 times in that game against South Dearborn. While there was not a lot to celebrate on the court for South Dearborn on Friday night, they did celebrate their homecoming night, and the festivities were pretty cool in between the JV and varsity game. We do want to give a shout-out to those candidates once again. The three princess candidates were Tracy Hughes, Kirsten Dixon, and Taylor Black. Up for prince were Brody Tiki, Ashton Kittle, and Evan Meek. It was Kirsten Dixon and Brody Tiki who were the princess and prince. Up for queen at South Dearborn High School was Megan Howe, Holly Maddie Kramer, Riley Powell, and Madison Van Winkle. And the King candidates were Josh Gordon, Tanner Hughes, Isaiah Jefferson, and Paul Lehman. And it was Megan Howe and Tanner Hughes that were the King and Queen of Homecoming Night at South Dearborn High School. Had a nice stage set up at one of the ends of the basketball floor, and had a nice presentation as well. And congratulations to those four individuals. Sticking with high school basketball, we want to give a shout-out to the Lawrenceburg Tigers, who picked up a big win on their senior night on Saturday against Rising Sun. Final score in that game was 64-50, and it was an unsuspecting performance from Logan Scalf that gave the Tigers a big boost on senior night. Now, Logan has not gotten a lot of minutes at the varsity level. He's been kind of labeled as a program guy that has been a part of that program for 4 years, basically doing anything that they ask him to do. And those players are very, very valuable to any type of program. But Logan got a chance to get out there for some quality minutes on senior night and provided 10 points in just about 18 minutes of play for the Tigers. He was one of four Lawrenceburg players that were in double figures. Reese Denning, another senior, 12 points to lead all scorers for the Tigers, along with Daya Patel, who also had 12. Jackson Bobo chipping in with 10 points in that victory for the Tigers. 15 of 16 from the free throw line. The Tigers doing a great job from the charity stripe for a bulk of the year, and that might have been the difference in this ball game, as Rising Sun only went 7 of 16 from the free throw line. So you can see the big difference there. Landon Cole, another standout performance for Rising Sun with 18 points. But a really cool story to see a player like Logan Scalf get an opportunity to play on his senior night, and not only playing, but stepping up big and adding 10 points in a win for Coach Cutter's Tigers. So as the boys' basketball regular season is coming to a close, just about four or five games left on most schedules for our area teams. We want to take a check of the Eastern Indiana Athletic Conference and Ohio River Valley Conference standings going into the final stretch of the season. Hopefully some of these games will be able to be played. Weather is going to be a factor this week. But right now in the EIAC, Connersville in the driver's seat, 5-0 in the conference. Greensburg right behind them, 4-1, and East Central, 4-2. Those teams look to be the ones that have the most legit chance to win the EIAC. Of course, Greensburg and East Central are going to need some help, and they actually play each other the final game of the regular season. So looks like the chances of those two teams being the EIAC champs, at least a split of the conference, not looking great after EC fell to Connersville 37-28 this past Thursday. So the best they can hope for is a share of the title, but they are going to need some help. And Connersville, looking at their schedule, still has two conference games at Franklin County and home against Lawrenceburg. So those two teams would have to help out in a big way to get EC any shot of sharing the EIAC championship. Lawrenceburg currently in fourth in the conference, 2-2. Batesville behind them at 3-4. South Dearborn at 2-3. Franklin County 1-4. And Rushville at 0-5. And Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn going to tangle in an EIAC contest coming up this Friday. That is our scheduled feature game of the week. Myself and Ryan Caniga will be on the call. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 tip-off between those two rivals in the EIAC at South Dearborn High School. Always fun when those two teams get together, and we hope that that game gets in. Again, some more potential snow on the back end of the week, so stay tuned for more details on that. But yes, Connersville looks to have the driver's seat well taken care of in the EIAC as of right now. Switching over to the ORVC, things a lot more open in that particular conference. We've talked about South Ripley, how great they've been all season long at 16-1 with that 11-game winning streak. They are currently 3-0 in the conference. They do have a game looming against Jacksonville, who is also 3-0. That will be the final game of the regular season on February 26th out in Osgood. South Ripley needs to get through Switzerland County on Tuesday. That game likely going to be pushed back or canceled. I also have Rising Sun on Friday, and then that Jacksonville game. So South Ripley looks like they will likely win those games against Switzerland County and Rising Sun. No disrespect to those teams, but South Ripley has been fantastic this season, so they'll at least be the favorite in those games. And then Jacksonville been really good this season as well, 13-6. Coming off a huge win over Hauser, they blew them out 81-29. So it looks like those two teams will compete for the ORVC championship. One of those two teams might win it outright. You still have Southwestern there in third at 3-2. Milan and Rising Sun 2-2 in the conference. Switzerland County 1-3, and then Shaw 0-5. So good conference, a lot of great teams here in the ORVC. South Ripley, Jacksonville, big game looming at the end of the month, likely for the conference championship. Moving on to girls high school basketball, we had two area teams compete at the regional level over the weekend. The first game coming early Saturday morning, a Class 4A regional at Bedford North Lawrence, number 9 East Central versus number 3 Bedford. Bedford had already beaten EC earlier in the year, very low scoring game. This time around, more points there on the board and a little bit closer game, but in the end, East Central not able to make enough plays to win that game, losing it 51-50. Heartbreaker as the Lady Trojan season comes to an end with a 19-5 record. Of course, they won the EIAC with a perfect 7-0 record in the conference. Sectional champs for back-to-back seasons. Great, great accomplishment. That sectional they played in was incredibly difficult to get through. They had to go through Columbus East, who was always a tough draw. Martinsville was highly ranked. That was a double overtime game. You heard here on Eagle Country 99.3, a 68-62 win. And then to come back the next night and beat Columbus North 38-29, a team that the EC girls program had never beaten before, was a huge, huge accomplishment, and nothing should be taken away from this team. Absolutely phenomenal season from Coach Moore and his girls. No reason to hang your head in Bedford. Unfortunately for them, they actually went into the regional championship game and lost. I believe it was to Franklin Community. So this time of year, anybody can be beaten on any given night, and East Central is among the great teams in Class 4A. Certainly were able to show what they were made of, not only this year, but last year as well. It's been a great, great run for this team. And it's four seniors, which have meant a whole lot to Coach Moore, not only this season, but the previous three. They've won over 70 games, two sectional championships. They advanced to the Elite Eight last year. They've won the EIAC a couple years as well. So a lot of great accomplishments, not only on the floor, but off, because between Emma Ertl, Kyla Maxwell, Charson McCoury, and Natalie Schnell, their IQ off the chart. They all have a 3.5 GPA or higher, and McCoury, Maxwell, and Ertl are on the National Honor Society. Now, to break it down a little bit further, give each of these individuals there do. Emma Ertl, a 3-year letter winner, 2-year varsity starter for Coach Moore, plans to attend UC, undecided on a major right now. Kyla Maxwell, 4-year letter winner, 4-year starter, 3-time Dearborn County first team. She was the team's defensive MVP a season ago. She's in the 200 assist club. Once upon a time was on the IBCA top 100 underclassmen list. And we learned over the weekend that Kyla is also an all-EIAC selection for this season, along with sophomore Josie Trable and junior Hope Fox, who was named the EIAC MVP. But Kyla will certainly be missed. Just an all-around good player for Coach Moore. Undecided where she's going to go to college, but plans to major in nursing. And I'm sure if she wants to continue her basketball career, there's a college around here that would love to have her. Charson McCoury, she does plan to play basketball at Benedictine University and major in psychology. She's a 3-year letter winner, 2-year starter, and a 2-time Dearborn County first team selection. And Natalie Schnell, well, undecided where she wants to attend college, but plans to major in nursing as well. And she was a 3-year letter winner and once upon a time the freshman year team MVP. And all of these young ladies' favorite memory of playing basketball at East Central High School was winning the sectional last year. And of course, they can add winning the sectional to the list this year. And congratulations to those four young ladies on a phenomenal career and doing some things that teams in East Central history have never done before, including last year when they helped the team win 23 times, which was a school record. So a lot to be proud of if you are these four girls and all the other Lady Trojans that have helped in all the accomplishments over the last couple of seasons. No doubt East Central will be back next year, a threat again to win the EIAC, potentially win the sectional yet again. You have EIAC MVP Hope Fox coming back for her senior year. Josie Trable, an all-state player as a freshman, had a phenomenal sophomore season as well. You saw some young ladies like Julia Tiemann and Lainey Baker really stepping up their game late in the season. They'll be back as well. So plenty of talent coming back for EC next year in girls basketball. We expect them to be one of the best teams in the area, if not all of the state, again next season. And that is a testament to the program Coach Moore has put together, not only at the varsity level, but it trickles down to the youth level where they really get the girls involved at a young age, teach them the fundamentals, and by the time they hit the varsity floor, the sky becomes the limit for EC girls basketball. Speaking of EC, they are going to be well represented at the IHSAA Wrestling State Championship coming up this weekend at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis as five Trojan wrestlers advance past the semi-state at Newcastle over the weekend. Six in total from the area as one South Dearborn wrestler has moved on as well. And we want to highlight those six individuals right now on Crunch Time, which is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state. Learn more at orthosensi.com. So let's start by highlighting the 5E Central wrestlers that are moving on to the state finals. You have Blake Wolf at 126 pounds, Ben Wolf at 152, Briar Hall at 170, Ryan Bavard at 195, and Cole Veal at 220 pounds. I want to start with Briar Hall, who won his semi-state bracket at 170. He's undefeated on the season, 30-0, number one rated wrestler at that weight class. And, well, he made quick work of everybody at the regional, and, well, he did really well for himself at the semi-state as well. In the championship round, the first round, Briar Hall winning over Hayden Rose out of Mount Vernon. That was by fall, minute 19 in. Quarterfinal, one over Ryan Cass from Hamilton Southeastern, another fall there for Briar Hall. One by decision in the semifinal over a young man from Indianapolis Cathedral. And then in the first place match, going 30-0, major decision over Shane Bates out of Zionsville, 16-5. Briar Hall, the champion at the semi-state. And moving forward into the state championship round, we do have the bracket available for you here. And I want to look at that a little bit more closely as Briar Hall is going to be taking on Duke Myers of Belmont in the first round coming up on Saturday. Duke is only 8-2 on the season. He is a freshman taking on the senior Briar Hall, who was the runner-up at 170 last year. Looks like in the second round, if he gets there, Jacob Simpson, 29-1 out of Hobart, or John Purdy, 30-1 out of Castle, would await. And then from Fort Wayne Snyder, Jacob Krieger looks to be a threat on that particular side of the bracket. You also have Pate Easton from Penn on the bottom half of the bracket, who was 30-0. Potentially could be matching up with him in the final. You got Sam Morrill from Columbus East, who's 35-1, so plenty of good wrestlers at 170. Definitely will not be easy for Briar Hall, but as the runner-up last year, you got to think he's one of the favorites to perhaps win the state championship this time around. As for Briar's classmates, you have Blake Wolf, who finished third at 126 pounds in the semi-state competition. That third-place match, he did win over Elijah Anthony out of Frankfort by fall, improving to 28-2 on the season. It's been a phenomenal go for Blake Wolf, and going to be moving on to that state championship level, of course. And we want to take a look at his first round. Has drawn Chaney Showoff from Avon, who is 32-5. Blake and Showoff, both sophomores. So plenty of more good wrestling to come from those two individuals. But the winner of that matchup likely going to face off with Bluffton's Landon Birch, who is 22-0 on the season. So again, at the state level, it's going to be every round. That's why the state champions really do earn it. So we could go through and pretty much highlight every single person in the 126-pound bracket. We can do the same for the other weight classes as well. But we wish Blake Wolf all the best of luck as he is going to Bankers Life Fieldhouse this weekend. Ben Wolf will also be joining him at 152 pounds. He finished third at the semi-state, defeating Avery Willis from Eastern Hancock in that third-place match, winning by decision 7-4. So in that 152-pound bracket at the state championship, Ben Wolf's first-round matchup is against Javen Estrada of Crown Point, who is 28-2 on the season. Ben is 26-4, so a really solid matchup there in the first round. In that same bracket, you got undefeated James Conway from Floyd Central, 27-0. And at the top of that bracket, Oak Hills' Aiden Hardcastle, 36-0, the likely favorite at 152 pounds. But Ben Wolf is there and going to have a chance to do some nice things at the state finals. Ryan Bouvard is going to go on after he finished fourth in 195-pound weight class. Was defeated by Max Broom of Hamilton Southeastern in that third-place matchup, but still fourth gets you to the state level. So Ryan Bouvard going to be off to Bankers Life Fieldhouse with his teammates, and he has drawn Eli Pack of Culver Academies, who is 18-0. That will be a first-round matchup from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. At 220 pounds, Cole Veal also moving on to the state level after he finished fourth in his weight class, was defeated by Atavion Jordan out of Franklin Central. That was a decision, 7-6. Good matchup there in the third round at the semi-state. But Cole Veal moving on to the state level. And then the 220-pound bracket, Cole Veal going to take on Ian Clifford out of Columbia City. Cole is 26-3 on the season. Ian, 28-2. Really nice matchup there in the first round. Same half of that bracket, a couple of the really strong wrestlers. You got Jason Streck from Maryville, who's 29-1, and Jacob Robb from Lafayette Jefferson, 25-1. But Tristan Rollman at 23-0 from Bloomington South, and Evan Bates at 34-0 from Chesterton might be the favorites at 220. But Cole Veal, certainly good enough to advance in this bracket and maybe put himself in the running. That's what you hope at the very least. And we got one more area wrestler that we want to highlight, that being Eli Otto from South Dearborn, also moving on to the state finals after he finished third at 145 pounds. Won a tiebreaker over Max Nasselrod from Alexandria Monroe in the third place matchup. So Eli going to move on at 145 pounds. His first round matchup at the state is going to be against Hayden Watson of Center Grove. So you got Eli 35-3. Hayden 29-4. The winner of that matchup likely going to face off with Elijah Chacon from New Haven in the second round. He's undefeated 32-0, the only unbeaten wrestler in the state at 145 pounds. So interesting draw for Eli. Certainly has had a phenomenal career with over 100 wins. Maybe the most decorated wrestler, or at least not one of the most decorated wrestlers in South Dearborn program history. So we want to wish him good luck at the state finals as well. Speaking of state finals, over the weekend, Kyra Hall from East Central competed at the IHSAA Girls Swimming and Diving Championship and ended up placing 13th in the 100-yard backstroke. Absolutely phenomenal job from Kyra. She's had an awesome career, going to the state level many of times, and I'm sure she's probably going to be looking to continue her career at the collegiate level. But 13th at the state championship, not too bad. Congratulations to Kyra Hall on a fantastic career at East Central High School. And now we got to cross state lines and get back into some wrestling talk, because Harrison Girls Wrestling has really kind of taken the area by storm. Now, if you follow the Harrison Girls Wrestling Twitter account, this is kind of crazy, because these girls basically just gave the sport a try in October. Two of them had wrestling experience, three others had never played the sport, and the rest were brand new to wrestling. And they went 5-1 in duels over the weekend and won the district championship, and they have 8 state qualifiers. And we want to go through and highlight all of these young ladies. Lily Kinzel, placing 3rd at the district. She's going to the state. Leah Lee, a state qualifier after placing 3rd at 131 pounds. 4th place at 137 was Madison Green, a state qualifier. Gabby Chandler, 189 pounds, district runner-up. She's moving on to the state competition. Jessica Edwards at 235, the runner-up. She's state-bound. Molly Hudler, 160-pound state qualifier after going 4th at districts. At 235, you got Riley Kirkwood, who is a 4th place state qualifier. 106, Chloe Deerwester. She was actually the first to pick up a varsity win as a female at Harrison. So she's moving on after winning at 106. Just phenomenal phenomenal job by these young ladies at Harrison, and they are doing big things and advancing the sport as well. And we don't want to forget about Taylor Wrestling either. They have three ladies that are state qualifiers after they finished sixth as a team out of 30 teams at the district championship. So this is great to see girls wrestling becoming a more prominent thing here in the tri-state area. And again, these girls are helping pave the way, trailblazers, advancing the sport, and opening some eyes and opening some pathways for other young ladies that want to get into wrestling. Really, really cool stuff, and we wish all of the young ladies from Harrison and Taylor good luck as they move forward into that state competition. And we have one more note to get to from Harrison Athletics, as their bowling teams are quite good. And both of their bowling teams have won back-to-back SWAC championships. The boys team finishing the regular season 14-3, 10-0 in SWAC play. They were led by three young men individually who rank in the top 10 in the conference in scoring. Eli McCain, he is a fourth at 191.2 a game. Marshall Hooper averages about 190, and Andrew Roush is right there in the 186-187 range. So those are kind of the three top players for Harrison, top bowlers, I should say. On the girls' side, the Lady Wildcats 13-2 on the season, 9-1 in the conference. Senior Alyssa Pierce, the best average in the conference, right around 179 per game. Cassie Schultes, 168 average. And Emma Marhofer averages right around 150 a game. They all rank in the top 10 in the conference, and both teams going to be competing at sectionals here in the near future. Should be coming up this week. Hopefully all of these sporting events get in with inclement weather, and hopefully everybody gets around our right this week. But we certainly thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, probably the best time to do it while you have nothing else going at home while the snow falls. But certainly want to thank our sponsor as well, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state. Whether you're a student athlete or an everyday Joe like me, if you have a problem, give them a call, look them up online, orthosensi.com. They're going to be able to help you in any way, shape, or form that you need to get yourself back from a hopefully not too terrible injury. As mentioned, next Monday, we hope to have the South Ripley Raiders boys basketball team on. As always, it'll be from 6 to 6:30, 30 minutes nonstop sports conversation. It is Crunch Time here at Eagle Country 99.3.